I'm Gina Kaufman, and now we're joined by Pete Doolin. He's a local food writer, and his book is called KC Ale Trail, celebrating 25 years of local brewing. Hi, Pete. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
If you fancy yourself a beer connoisseur, call us up to share your reviews of Kansas City beers and breweries. Or maybe there's a beer you love that comes from somewhere else. Our guests might be able to suggest something like it made here. 816-235-2888. That's 816-235-2888. And Pete, this must have been a fun book to research.
Absolutely. That's kind of the end joke when I talk to people is it was definitely a lot of fun to research both for the beer itself, but also the people involved with making the beer and selling the beer. Visited 23 breweries in Greater Kansas City and the surrounding area. And the craft brewing industry is just a really fun industry because they're very collaborative, and they were very supportive of me and researching the book and, of course, enjoying some beers.
What inspired you to do this project?
Well, last year, actually it was the tail end of 2013, I realized that both Boulevard Brewing in Kansas City and Free State Brewing in Lawrence were going to celebrate their 25th anniversaries in 2014. And that got me to thinking about that milestone, as well as the new breweries that have opened up in recent years. And so I wanted to put together a book that kind of explored all of those breweries, both in Kansas City as well as the surrounding area.
So the idea is really that people can use this book almost as a travel guide specializing in breweries and craft beer in Kansas City and the surrounding area. But is like a tour that comes from this book feasible, or would you be too drunk?
Well, I think you would have to pace yourself, definitely. There are enough breweries in greater Kansas City where you'd probably want to split it up over a couple of days at least. It would certainly be fun to explore, but you can go as far south as, say, Martin City Brewing to up in Liberty at Rock and Run. And there's a lot of places in between.
Let's talk about those two landmarks as sort of the north and south endpoints. If that were a subway line, those would be the destinations. Let's start with the southern one in Martin City. Tell us about it.
Sure. Martin City Brewery, they are the brewery itself is going to be celebrating their first anniversary in early February. And there, a couple of guys, Matt Moore and Chancey Adams, established that brewery. They first built a pub next door where they serve craft brews from all around the country that are premium. And then they built a wood-fired pizza restaurant next door, and then a craft brewery where they poured their own beers on tap. The brewer there is Nick Vaughn, and they make some excellent beers. They're very dynamic and a good variety of beers that you wouldn't find elsewhere on the market.
And then in Liberty, tell us about that.
Sure. In Liberty, you have Rock and Run. I was just there last night. It's an interesting brewery. They got its name from the founders, Gene DeClue and Dan Hatcher. Gene is a musician. He plays in a rock band. And then Dan is a marathon runner. So you get Rock and Run. And it's set up as a brew pub there right off of Liberty Square. And they produce a phenomenal amount of beer for the size of their brewery. It's packed into this small space in a historic building. And they also carry, I think, a total of 40 taps. So 30 of them are from other breweries, and then 10 of them are dedicated to theirs.
So you've identified earlier in this conversation that there are a couple of major players, notably Boulevard Beer and then Free State in Lawrence. Beyond that, you've got all these little startups. What's your take on that phenomenon?
Well, I think that the interest in craft brewing, both on the brewing side as well as people that enjoy drinking it, has steadily increased over the years. And the market in Kansas City is just ripe for growth and experimentation and more. We've been lucky to have these fantastic breweries like Boulevard around for so long. But there's certainly room for more growth and variety. And I think this new wave of breweries that have opened over the past few years really add more to the market. And that's also indicative of today's generation of craft beer drinkers. They don't want to just stick to, you know, one legacy beer. They like to experiment, and so you'll find them at craft beer bottle shops like Beer Station as well, trying a lot of different types of beer, sharing on social media about their interests. So there's definitely interest in and support of local craft beer as well as beers produced elsewhere in the country.
Here to speak to the startup brewery experience is Rafi Chowdhury, one of the founders of Torn Label Brewing Company in the Crossroads. Hi, Rafi.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Thanks for being here. What would you say is particular about Kansas City or the Kansas City scene from a local brewer's perspective?
Well, you know, I think Kansas City has this fantastic kind of melting pot approach to beer stylistically. You know, places like the East Coast, the Mid-Atlantic, they're much more tied to old world traditional styles. You know, you see kind of much more English mild ales, German styles kind of try to be done in a kind of classic take on those. West Coast, by contrast, is much more an extreme beer culture. You know, there's not much regard for styles, for adhering to origin or styles. And in Kansas City, in kind of, you know, figurative and geographic literal sense, is kind of a meeting point of those two. You have a great respect for the brewing traditions and of styles, but at the same time, you also have brewers trying to do new things and push the styles forward a little bit.
Can you explain extreme beer a little more?
Yeah. You know, California, Oregon, you know, they're known for doing beers that are less concerned with balance and are more concerned about having heightened flavors and heightened experiences. You know, you kind of get your extreme dose of hops, of alcohol strength, of whatever adjunct ingredient, and you kind of take it up to the, you know, to 11 on anything you do. You know, so that can be great. I think with, you know, I enjoy that as a beer geek. You know, that's something I return to very often. But I also like the other side of it too, the kind of approachable session side too. And I love that Kansas City has this kind of this great capacity for the diversity of both those sides. You know, the approachable side and the challenging side are both great in, you know, whatever sort of format you're looking for.
Would you say that you're part of a new wave of Kansas City beer?
Yeah, I think that there's, you know, at this point, I don't know if we're on wave two or on wave three of the Kansas City brewers.
It's hard to count the waves.
It really is. You know, especially with the ones that are in planning that are probably about to open in 2015. You know, Boulevard and Free State, as Pete said, did such fantastic things and were such a great positive influence on the beer culture and making people aware of what beer, what craft beer can really be and represent in terms of flavor and experiences. And, you know, for so long, you had the KC saw the explosion of craft beer that the rest of the country saw in terms of beer bars, craft beer tap handles in restaurants, bottle shops, but you didn't really have any actual breweries in KC besides those two up until, you know, really a couple years ago, unless you went a little bit further outside the city. So now, you know, after a couple years ago, you saw great new entries like KC Beer Company, Martin City, and some of the others that that Pete mentioned, and you have a few others that are up in planning. So yeah, I think there is this new class of brewers that are both, you know, being informed by and supported by the old guard, the old wave of breweries, and, you know, kind of trying to make their own path.
Is there a community of craft brewers in Kansas City, or are all of you guys like lone rangers out there?
Oh, it's completely collaborative. That's one of the most attractive things about craft beer in general for me has always been that it's much more collaborative than competitive. We've had nothing but fantastic support and enthusiasm from other brewers, both the established ones and the ones in planning. Boulevard was one of the first to kind of give us a signal boost on social media during our launch week and tell people to get out there and support one of your new local KC breweries. We've had other brewery owners come in to help us on brew days. We've borrowed gaskets from other brewers as well and loaned out equipment. So it's a fantastic supportive community.
I want to talk to both of you about this. How does the 25-year presence of Boulevard shape what people like you are doing, or maybe pave the way for startups like you? Is it a taste-making thing within the city, or what?
Yeah, it's just a great touchstone to come back to and realize, for me, that represents our origins and also how far we've come. Because I did, you know, I was living elsewhere when we put together the Torn Label, but I grew up here. I discovered better beer in KC. And I remember those days when the most you'd ever see from a local standpoint was the 2 to 3 Boulevard brands they had at the time, and Free State was not distributing. So it was a much, much more limited availability in terms of a diversity of craft beer.
So now, they develop the taste, and then someone like you arrives to start satisfying more of it.
Sure. And as Pete says, you know, I think that's not to write off Boulevard or Free State at all. I think those guys are going to continue pushing the boundaries and do just as interesting and compelling things as they've done for those first 25 years. As Pete said, you know, craft beer drinkers are sort of loyal to the concept of craft beer more so than one particular brewery. So,
chime in on this, Pete.
Absolutely. I think, Boulevard, you don't last 25 years without doing something right. And, you know, they were able to roll out pale ale and then later their filtered wheat, which became unfiltered wheat, which were runaway successes. And I think in a lot of ways that helped be gateway beers to introduce people to the idea local craft beers that are made locally that are fresh, but that brewery has certainly evolved with their Smoke Sex series, which is wildly popular not only here but elsewhere in the country. And so you've got these breweries with a lot of history that have kind of shaped the taste locally. And then with the second and third wave, you have additional breweries that have worked within that. And also, you know, you have newer ingredients in terms of hops and different techniques and technology to produce different styles and flavors of beer that appeal to people.
Rafi Chowdhury, Torn Label recently took over Thou Mayest Coffee Shop for a night to offer a one-off variety of your house brew, which is a coffee wheat stout. And I only know about that because I randomly happened to go to that coffee shop that night, and it was packed. Can you talk about developing a following and developing a community, more than just a market, a community?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, craft beer audiences, beer geeks, are so tuned into developments that, you know, they're aware if there's a new brewery in planning on the horizon for 6 months, a year before we actually launch. So that was fantastic. We had a wonderful launch week, and Thou Mayest was such a great inviting crowd, especially for us. That's kind of our spiritual home right now before we have a tap room. They're so close to us. Those guys are our great friends, and their Sumatran toddy in our house brew coffee stout is a great coffee for us. But you know, in a lot of ways, that's sort of the easy part, because craft beer people are so enthusiastic, they always want to try the new latest beer, you know. So now you kind of shift from that where people try us for the first time, and then you have to kind of sustain that a little bit and make sure that you continue to do interesting things, and you know, you continue to produce your flagship everyday beers for people that enjoy that, but also continue to give something to look forward to that's next on the around the corner.
As a local craft brewery run by a couple of fairly young guys, do you think of yourselves as having a social role to fill here in Kansas City for people your age?
I think that beer has always been a facilitator of conversation, of friendship, of community. You know, it's so much more than, you know, as the biggest beer geek, one of the biggest beer geeks out there. You can approach it as you're dissecting a recipe or a product like that, and it's fun to get at the nuances of flavor profile and aromas and all that sort of thing too. But at the end of the day, it's about having a communal experience and talking to people about a shared interest.
Hold that thought, okay? We're talking about beer in Kansas City on Central Standard. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we'll get right back to this conversation in just a minute. I'm Gina Kaufman. You're listening to a late morning conversation about beer on Central Standard. Pete Doolin joins us. He's written a local guide to craft breweries called KC Ale Trail. Also with us is Rafi Chowdhury, one of the brewers at Torn Label in the Crossroads. You still have a few minutes to get in on this conversation at 816-235-2888. And we were just talking about the social role that beer plays in our lives and in communities. Pete, I wonder if you can weigh in on that. What is the bigger picture? Why does beer matter?
Well, I think that the social element's really important. I had a great conversation with the brewers at Free State when I interviewed them last summer, and it was kind of the perfect conversation that spanned more than 2 hours over beer and just wide-ranging ideas. But historically, beers had this really important role in society where you have people that want to gather at your local pub to exchange, you know, ideas or just wind down at the end of the day. But you've had major breweries that have also helped provide a social function as far as, you know, building infrastructure. And we're talking, you know, hundreds of years ago where, you know, maybe a city needed a new school or a bridge or something, and people would donate their time and they couldn't be paid except in beer. And so, like, breweries kind of helped foster that social movement and that community building, literally. And I think that extends to today, where you have people that want to naturally gather around things that they enjoy, whether it's, you know, it's sports or some other activity. Beer just happens to be a very social thing, you know, much like food. You know, food is very social as well.
Pete, do you have a favorite behind-the-scenes story from your visits to local breweries as you did your hard-hitting research for this book, KC Ale Trail?
Oh, gosh. You know, I enjoyed every brewery that I got to visit, not only locally, but I went down to Springfield, Topeka, Lawrence, of course, and Manhattan. You know, I'd say when I went down to Springfield, Mother's Brewing is down there, as well as Springfield Brewing Company. And I really enjoyed the trip there. And on pretty short notice, I got a personal tour from the brewer at Mother's. They produce fantastic beers. And it was just fun to kind of walk around and kind of see what they're doing, how fast they're growing, learn about the brewery that's in this former bakery. It's like a large-scale space where they used to produce bread. And then sit down in the tasting room with the brewer during off hours and learn a little bit more about him and his family and his journey to get to Springfield to brew beer.
A highlight of that journey you'd be willing to share?
You know, it's just really kind of learning little details about the brewer and the brewery, and also just tasting beers that weren't accessible here in Kansas City. They have a lot of kind of brewery-only beers in their tap room. And so that's part of the experience, I think, of craft beers in general, is like, you know, there are things that you can get in your local market, but it's fun to travel to other cities, almost like a craft beer tourist, and see like what's local there. And even just, you know, a journey of an hour or two outside of Kansas City, you can go somewhere and have an experience with a beer, and it starts a conversation.
Let's talk to David in Overland Park. Hi, David.
Hello. Hello. Yes, my question is about sour beer, or beer that's been actually fermented a second time. I had it at Cascade Barrel House in Portland, and it's probably has a taste that's a little more like wine than beer, or a combination of those. Is there any future in Kansas City for sour beers being brewed?
Who can take that?
Yeah, I've also been to Cascade. It's one of my favorite places to visit in the country for sour beers. We love sour beers at Torn Label. We certainly have plans to do those. It's a tricky thing to do because when you do a beer with a sour culture like a lactobacillus or Brettanomyces, that's an infectious yeast strain, so it can cling onto your tanks and infect the next beers that you don't want to necessarily be sour. So you have to be very careful with it. In the meantime, we have plans to do others that are soured by different methods, by using a sour mash, things like that, or souring them in the barrels later on. And there's other breweries, of course. You know, Casey Boulevard's Love Child is a fantastic sour. Crane Brewing, which should be coming up hopefully in 2015, is going to be focused mostly on sour beers, and they do it phenomenally well. So I'm really looking forward to them.
Yes, definitely. Crane Brewing is one of the new breweries. There are four that are anticipated to open this year. And Michael Crane, he kind of specializes in sour beers, saisons, farmhouse ales that fit in that category. And they're fantastic. I've tried them at a lot of beer festivals, and I can't wait for them to be on the market.
Let's talk now to Joe in Northwest Missouri. Hi, Joe.
Hello. How's it going?
Great. How about you?
Fine. I had a question. We were over in the Czech Republic last summer, and we visited a brewery, Erlinger, and at the brewery, we tasted what they called an unpasteurized or green beer, and I know they send it out to the local pubs. It's got a short shelf life. If it doesn't sell within a certain amount of time, they have to throw it out. But it's my wife, who's not a beer drinker, drank it and go, that is really good. So I was curious if there's any thoughts of that being locally available.
Either of you know anything about that, about unpasteurized beer?
You know, Pilsner is such a tricky style to do well.
Is that another way of saying that, Pilsner?
Yeah. Oh. You know, it's a style that people don't think that much about because it tends to be much more kind of easily drinkable than, you know, something that's a hoppier, kind of more complex beer. But it's a really tough one because there's no way to hide off flavors in it. And it's got a very delicate, short shelf life. So something unpasteurized like that is going to be difficult to get to the country in as good shape as obviously you would have it overseas out there. Right now, KC Beer Co., they're Pilsner, their traditional German Pilsner, so as opposed to a Czech Pilsner, so a little different. But I think it's really well made. That's his forte. That's exactly his wheelhouse of style. So that's the one that's worth tracking down.
Thanks so much for that call, Joe. And so where can we get that again?
They have a tap room restaurant in Waldo, and they also distribute to both sides of KC.
Let's hear now from Remington in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Remington.
Well, hello. Wondering if you knew about any similar beers, possibly locally, similar to the Weinstephaner Corbinian, and then also the Boulevard Imperial Stout that I believe they more recently came out with.
Remington, can I stop you for a second? What was that first beer you asked about again?
It's pronounced Weinstephaner Corbinian. It starts with a K. And the brewery is called Weinstephaner, and it starts with a W.
Could you quickly tell us what that tastes like and why you like it, just quickly?
Absolutely. It's a very smooth beer. It's a quad, but unlike a lot of beers seem to have at least some note about them that's off. It's a little bit too bitter. There's a flavor in there that's hard to get rid of, but the rest of the beer is great. But the neat thing about it, the Corbinian, is it's perfect from beginning to end, and it just it's one of the best well-rounded beers I've ever had.
Jump in here, Rafi. What do you have to recommend to Remington?
Well, that's a tough one to really do a comparable one on because the Weinstephaner, the Corbinian, Weinstephaner Brewery is one of the oldest in the world, if not the oldest possibly. So you can find that in the States. I wouldn't be able to find something that you can really compare it all that much to it because it's such a unique beer, even as a Doppelbock. It's got less of a malt, heavy center to it. But the good news is it's actually readily available in the States at the very least.
So, Pete, before we go, you're hosting a beer pairing dinner at Happy Gillis this Friday along with the founder of Tallgrass Brewing Company. What can you tell us about that event?
Sure. The event is going to be at Happy Gillis Cafe, and it's a 5-course beer pairing dinner. Chef Josh Eans is preparing the meal, and he'll pair each course with a beer from Tallgrass Brewing based out of Manhattan.
So what are the next steps for Kansas City's beer scene? It sounds like we've gone from local brewing as an anomaly to local brewing as an industry with lots of players and a decent market. Where do we go from here?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's get out there and support local, you know, not to ignore other beers in the marketplace, but go and try your local craft brewery, either on site or a lot of them are starting to brew and are not brew, but can and bottle their beers and distribute them locally as well as being on tap. So if you hear about a local brewery and you're curious about it, you know, ask for a sample if it's on tap at a local bar.
Rafi, what would you say? What's next for Kansas City, or what should be next?
Well, for us, I'm really looking forward to growing in the number of places that we're on tap in bars and restaurants, as well as opening our tap room and starting to can our flagship beers. More broadly, I'm looking forward to the next round of breweries and the crossroads coming up. So there's been fantastic things. I'm excited for the last year where we are in KC, but I'm really excited for where we'll be in a couple of years.
That's all the time we have for today's show. Pete Doolin, author of KC Ale Trail, thank you so much for your time and your hard-hitting research.
Thank you so much.
And Rafi Chowdhury of Torn Label Brewing Company here in Kansas City, best of luck to you.
Thank you.
To listen back to this morning's conversations about sugar and beer, go to kcur.org/centralstandard later today. Sign up for our podcast while you're there. That's kcur.org/centralstandard. Tomorrow, tune in for your answers to our Tell KCUR question about why people leave Kansas City. There's still time to send your answer using the Tell KCUR hashtag on Twitter. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. The standard's been set. Let's see what Kresge's got on Up to Date next.